This is Sheffield Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business life.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 2nd of December, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we are broadcasting, of course, live as ever on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, sheffieldlive.org. This programme will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. And talking about podcasts, last week we were talking about the Autumn Statement and what it might mean for your business or your social enterprise. If you missed that, then of course, just go to the Sheffield Live website, find the show. All you need to do is look up radio shows, find Business Live, and you'll be able to tune in. Whilst you're there, you could also discover a whole range of exciting music, from jazz, from swing, from reggae, to soul, to folk, and much, much more. Honestly, there's a whole wealth of music there. You'll enjoy it. I certainly do. Anyway, what's coming up today? Well, in the studio with me, I'm really, really pleased to be joined by Maria Terry. Now, she's the co-owner of the Dress Circle on Abbeydale Road. And we're going to be talking about Small Business Saturday. So exciting stuff to come in just a minute or two. But before we do that, what else is going on in business and in social enterprise this week? Well, last night, it was, of course, the Sheffield Business Awards in a glittering awards bash at Ponds Forge. If you were there, then I may have bumped into you. There are 850 people there, though. What a night it was, though. It was a fun evening and great to see businesses celebrating their successes and their innovation here in the city region. And there certainly is a lot of that innovation. So congratulations to everyone who was a finalist in the awards and, of course, to all of the winners. Haven't they done well? And I should think there might be a few people who might be a little bit tired today, having celebrated. Certainly the party looked like it was going on really, really well when I left at about 12:30 last night. I think people were due to be there till about 2 o'clock dancing. So anyway, if you were there and you got an award, or if you went there and enjoyed the evening, well, you can get in touch with this programme and you can tell us what you think about awards ceremonies. Are they a fantastic confidence boost for your business? Do they give you the recognition that you deserve? Does that then help you to secure contracts, to secure publicity, or to secure business? Don't be shy. You can get in touch with the programme. All you need to do is email me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, or send a text to 07904 272 200. You can find us on Twitter as well. What else is going on? Well, of course, the proposals that have been announced with regards to the library and the potential for it to become a 5-star hotel are causing mixed responses. So plenty of people are talking about the potential impact there and the move of the Graves Art Gallery down to the ground floor and of the library to a different purpose-built building. With the council saying that without the investment, they would need to spend £30 million that they don't have on the library. Again, what do you think? Is this good for Sheffield? Is it controversial? What should the city do? Of course, you can get in touch and tell us. Also, what's been going on this week? Well, Go Outdoors has been sold for over £110 million to JD Sports. So big changes afoot there, of course. And plenty more. Now, please do get in touch. Tell us what you think is the most important thing for us to cover, and even put yourself forward to be a guest on the show. Now, I think it's about time we turn to today's guest. Maria is in the studio. Maria Terry, good morning. Thank you very much for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I was really interested to learn about the work that you're doing with the shop, but also collaboration with other shops and other businesses on Aberdale Road in support of and around Small Business Saturday. So Small Business Saturday takes place tomorrow, of course, for listeners who haven't come across it. It's a national day of action to support small businesses and to remind us all that small businesses are really, really incredibly important to support, because statistics have demonstrated that far more of your money that is spent in a small business then circulates in the local economy, creating opportunities, creating a positive impact in the local community. And Small Business Saturday, it's about much more than one day. It's a campaign leading up to the day as well. But Maria, I've invited you in to talk about Small Business Saturday. What are you doing?
Well, we've come together on Aberdale Road. We have a lot of businesses that have been there a very long time. Sharps, the fruit and vegetable shop's been there over 100 years. Lowe's, the decorators, Hadfields, they've been there an awfully long time. My own business, the dress agency, has been on that site for 40 years, although we've only been there for four.
Yes.
But there are lots of new businesses, and we've got a wig mistress who's just arrived, and she does vegetarian and vegan beauty treatments. We've got a wedding cake shop that's just arrived, a badminton shop that's just arrived. There's another dress agency and gift shop. There's curtain makers. And it seems like a great time to just celebrate the fact that people are taking the risk of starting a small business.
Yes, that's very, very important, isn't it? Because it is a risk. And we interview plenty of small business owners, plenty of people running small businesses, and of course social enterprises as well on this show. And people have decided to make something happen, to do something.
Yes.
So you're working in collaboration then with some of these other businesses on Aberdale Road. And what are you doing?
Well, Gemma from That There Deli has been very, very helpful. She
yes.
had this idea that we could have a raffle. And so the shops that wanted to participate are going to give everybody that makes a purchase a raffle ticket. And prizes have been donated by each business. So we've donated some sparkling wine. Gemma from the deli is going to make a cake, and she specialises in vegetarian and vegan food, which is delicious, although I'm not a vegetarian.
But her food is absolutely wonderful.
Her food is really, really lovely, and she's decided to stay open till 6 o'clock so you can get things for tea on the way home.
Good plan.
Yes, exactly. There's a patchwork shop across the road. She's donated a prize, and many others had feels. And there's still time for more of the businesses to decide to take part, because we've got lots of raffle tickets. So hopefully there should be a really nice atmosphere on the street.
Yes, so this means that people who go into the businesses have a great chance of winning some pretty interesting prizes there.
Yes.
And this is a collaborative effort. You talked about Gemma from That There Deli.
Yeah.
And you talked before we came on air as well about how you had the idea that it would be great to do something around Small Business Saturday as well.
Yes, I printed a poster that said support small businesses, and it gave the date, and I've given everybody on the street a poster and three balloons. So I'm hoping that when you drive down the road, you see all the blue balloons tomorrow and decide to stop and have a walk around.
Excellent indeed. And of course, so that's people driving past, people see them from the bus as well.
Yes.
And if you're walking up and down the road, and as many people will do, then seeing balloons, posters and so on will be hopefully very enticing.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah. Indeed. And campaigns like Small Business Saturday are important, aren't they, in terms of celebrating what small business owners do.
Yes, it is a great opportunity. When we bought the shop 4 years ago, there were quite a lot of empty shops on our stretch of road. And now most of those are filled.
Yes.
And that's really worth celebrating. It's much better for the community and it's much better for all the businesses because there's more reason to come to Abbeydale Road.
Most definitely, absolutely. Mm. And I'd really like to ask you about that. You bought the shop 4 years ago with Patricia Bellamy.
Yes.
And Patricia is, of course, your mother.
She is,
And so what was it then that that set the spark for you and Patricia to buy the shop?
Well, we'd always loved the dress circle. We'd been, when the very first owner, Juliet, had it, and she had it for 18 years, and then Amanda had it for 17. And we were in there, and Amanda told us she was going to sell it. So we came out, and Pat said, "Oh, I'd really like to do that." And I said, "Yes, I bet that's a lot of fun." And the next day, she phoned and said, "I really would like to do it, but I'm too old to do it on my own." So we've done it together with a combined age of 130 when we started.
That's absolutely fantastic. And that was 4 years ago.
That was four years ago, and it was the best decision ever. It's been great fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's so lovely. Yeah. And so for people who aren't familiar with the shop, you have a cornucopia of hats and, of course, much, much more in there. And that gives you the opportunity to meet people at wonderful occasions in their lives as well. That must be interesting.
Yes, we have two sides to the business. One is the dress agency, where we sell on behalf of people, and the other is hat hire. So we have 120 hats in the shop. And it's always a happy occasion when a woman needs a hat. They go to the races, they go to weddings, and they go to Buckingham Palace. And it's surprising how many people from Sheffield get invited to tea parties.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So they come in excited, raring to go, and wanting to dress for the occasion.
Yes, sometimes they come in very nervous, actually, because we don't wear hats that often. But hopefully by the time they go out, they've picked a hat that they're 100% confident in and they're looking forward to their occasion.
Yes.
And then, of course, they bring the hat back and we get to hear all about it and what a wonderful time they've had.
Absolutely. Oh, great. That's lovely. So you're seeing people before they go off and then they come back and they tell you about it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, in the 4 years that you and Pat have been running the shop, you must have seen all sorts of changes. And of course, you've faced all sorts of challenges like any business owner. What are the biggest challenges that you have faced in that time and how have you overcome them?
Well, I think when you're a small business, you have a very small budget for investment if you're trying to do it without resorting to borrowing money. When we bought the shop, we had what we considered quite a dodgy sign and we wanted to change it, but then the heating broke, so we did that. And then we thought we would change it and the alarm system broke, so we did that. So this year we finally got a nice new sign. So that's one of the challenges that you've got to be very careful with money. The other challenge is marketing, because it's not an area that you're an expert in. And so that's quite difficult. How do you increase footfall? How do you get people to know about you without just relying on word of mouth, which is brilliant, but is very slow.
Yes, I
think that's probably the challenge for all the shopkeepers on Abbeydale Road, particularly those that have just started.
Yes. And I suppose, like with any small business, you're going to be an expert in your area. So you know absolutely everything there is to know about dress hire and about hats, I'm sure. But it's a case of things like marketing. People are very tempted to try and do it themselves, but in the same way, sometimes you need to call on expertise, in the same way as you need to call on a lawyer sometimes if you need legal expertise, or you need an accountant or a bookkeeper or whatever, but it's tempting to try and do everything yourself. And of course, as you said, you have to be very careful in terms of prioritising as a small business. Mm. So are there any lessons that you've learned which might be valuable for our listeners in terms of marketing? Because you're also a bit of a destination business as well, perhaps more so than some businesses because of the nature of what it is that you're doing. But what tips have you got for our listeners in terms of how you've managed to achieve marketing, how you have marketed yourselves?
Well, really, I think just try. If you have an idea and you think it might work, just try, because that's why I'm on the radio.
Yes.
A bit of a fluke, really, and a leap of faith. And if you start a small business, it is a leap of faith.
Yes, indeed.
So just try it with marketing, unless you have a big budget.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you're just going to have to keep trying.
Indeed. But your initiative here and your collaboration with other business owners on Abbeydale Road, and you talked about Gemma and others, of course, has clearly led to publicity. I mean, I've ended up inviting you onto this programme, and you've been featured in the Telegraph and in The Star and so on. So that's a perfect demonstration. Just get on and do it and see what comes of it. Excellent.
Yes. Hopefully we'll have more success at that on the road. One of the nice things is, because I've tried this, it's been lovely to see how all the shopkeepers are helping each other.
Yes.
And interested, and we all want the same thing. So hopefully everybody will have a really great day tomorrow.
Superb. Well, fingers crossed, and I'm sure they will. And the prizes are many and varied.
They are. I don't know all the prizes, but I'm sure they'll all be lovely, because the shops are all lovely.
Excellent. Well, Maria Terry, thank you so much for coming in today and talking about this. And of course, we should let people know a little bit more about you as well, in terms of if they can get along, then please do. But if they can't, they can check out your website as well, can't they?
That's right. We have a website and we have a Facebook page where we put pictures of exciting new things that have come into the dress agency.
So do you want to give out the addresses?
Yes.
It's easy to find.
It's dresscirclesheffield.com and Facebook, The Dress Circle.
Brilliant. Excellent. And I will tweet those out as well.
Thank you.
Immediately after this programme, so people can find them and find out more. And it'd be really great as well if other business owners who are listening to this show also pop in and have a chat, because as we've discussed, the power of collaboration between small businesses can get a lot done.
Yes.
So Maria Terry, thank you ever so much
for
joining us today and coming into the studio, and good luck with Small Business Saturday tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. And we're going to take a quick break for a track of music in a moment or two. You've just heard from Maria Terry talking about Small Business Saturday. We will play a track by The Jam, and it is Town Called Malice.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. And we've just been talking with Maria Terry of The Dress Agency about Small Business Saturday and an initiative that she and other shops on Abbeydale Road are doing collaboratively to, of course, boost trade and footfall, but also there's great opportunities for people to win prizes in their raffle. Now, on the theme of Small Business Saturday, HMRC is offering help and advice to self-employed workers with a series of free webinars, and those are going to cover many of the key tax issues that new and experienced businesses often ask HMRC about. So whether that's starting out, whether it's record keeping, whether it's business expenses, they'll be giving people information. So some of those are tomorrow, 10 a.m. through to 11 a.m. There's a webinar on self-employment. So it's a refresher or a starting point for people on what new businesses need to do. Then midday to 1 p.m., there's a webinar about business expenses for the self-employed. So you can find out what expenses you can claim and what expenses you can't claim. They then have a webinar from 2 until 3 p.m. tomorrow about income tax for the self-employed. So how to do it, Looking at cash basis income tax to make it simpler. And they have a session on record keeping for the self-employed, how to set up a system and what to include in your records. That's from 4 until 5pm, that webinar. So worth taking a look at HMRC's YouTube channel or Google HMRC webinars, and you will find all of their details on all of their webinars there. So, meanwhile, time to return to another interview. And a few weeks ago, I caught up with Tina Carr. She runs Brocco in the Park, to find out about why and how the business had been featured in a good hotel guide. How did it do that? And what will it mean for the Sheffield Boutique Hotel, which only launched recently? Well, let's hear from Tina in the interview now. So good afternoon, Tina, and thanks very much for joining me today. And a big smile on your face, because a fantastic accolade, really great news to learn that Brocco of the Park has been named City Hotel of the Year by the Good Hotel Guide, one of the CESAR Awards. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You must be over the moon.
I'm thrilled, yes. I was completely shocked because it was something completely out of the blue. Didn't even know we were entered into an award, never mind to win something. So it was fabulous news and very exciting for us. Brilliant. And for Sheffield.
Yeah, brilliant news for you. Brilliant news for Sheffield as well, because you're the only hotel, not only in Sheffield, but in Yorkshire, I understand, to have been given.
I think
we're
the only ones getting an award. Yeah. There are other hotels in the guide, obviously the Good Hotel Guide of Yorkshire, but I don't think there's any Sheffield hotel in the Good Hotel Guide. So that's interesting.
It certainly is. And as you said, you didn't know that the accolade was coming, which demonstrates the rigour, I think, of the accolades as well. They're well respected by the hospitality industry, and the guide itself is trusted by its readers. Tell us a little bit more about the CESAR Awards and about the guide.
Well, the CESAR Awards are back in the day of CESAR Ritz, so it was the Ritz Awards that started this, and they tell me that it's like the Oscars of the hotel industry. So it's totally anonymous. We had a couple, they always send a couple assessors, so you aren't sort of looking out for any single travellers that are asking you funny questions. So you don't know that people have been, they stayed in one of our rooms called Chiff Chaff Post, and they, from when I read the guide, I can see that's where they stayed. And they obviously have dinner and evening meal and probably ask a few questions. But so it's totally anonymous. We don't pay to be in the guide.
No.
We don't obviously give them any free dinners or night stay or anything like that, which other guides, that's what happens. So this is why it's such an amazing award, really, because you don't know that you've been entered for it. You don't even know you've been assessed to go in the guide, because obviously last year we weren't in the guide. They didn't even know about us.
No.
So not only have we got in the guide, which is obviously a big tick in its own right, we then won one of their 10 awards. So I was really, really happy. And to be the City Hotel of the Year, there are a lot of cities in the UK, so it feels like there was a massive competition, and that's really nice.
It's absolutely brilliant for you, for the business, and as you say, for Sheffield as well.
Yeah.
And the hotel, of course, is only young. You opened in 2014.
Yeah, it's just nearly 2 years, so seem to have won a few things. So we won Alistair Sorday's guide last year, Best Newcomer of 2016, and we also had a couple of reviews from Fiona Duncan, who's the Sunday Telegraph travel writer. And though we knew she was coming, she then did a review in the Sunday Telegraph, but at Christmas she did her top 10 highlights of the year. And she gave Brocco on the Park her top 10 highlight and said we were the best hotel, top for design. And that was a fantastic Christmas present last year and a real boost to everybody, because for her to have gone around all the hotels she does see every year and then put us as one of her top 10 of the year, I was thrilled then.
Yes.
And I think, from what I understand, the Good Hotel Guide had read some of her recommendations, and they do respect her in the industry. And then obviously readers also send in their recommendations and say you should look at this hotel. So it's not just assessors, it's also the general public that can run in and say, I really like Brocco and we should have it in the guide. So that was good as well.
Wonderful news. And what is it then about the hotel, about Brocco on the Park, that has been particularly impressing, not only the assessors, not only critics and commentators and writers like Fiona, but also your customers? What do people love about your establishment?
Well, the Good Hotel guy said when they did their speech on Monday when we went to the awards, they said the people that have won this are for people that have character and great hospitality and a warm welcome and something that's a little bit different to what we're used to. So I hope that's what we try to do here. I think a lot of my customers will say you've got great attention to detail, which is a real nice thing to hear, because I did spend sort of 16 months completely devoted to renovating the building.
Yes.
And to thinking of the detail, and it was the detail that inspired me and spurred me on and made me feel that I was going to create something. It was going to be like this, and I didn't know that people were going to feel like they do about it. But for me, I really care about detail, so I want to make sure that everything was perfect. I spent a lot of time just looking at where the plug sockets should be so that someone can dry their hair properly and can see a mirror. Just little things like that that do all add up if you spend a lot of time on everything to making some experience the best experience it can be.
And so that care, that attention to detail, that attention to providing a wonderful experience then clearly resonates not only with customers but also with assessors as well. And many Sheffielders will have passed the building during the refurbishment, yeah, and the redevelopment. You've been open for, as you say, since 2014, 2 years. We'll talk a little bit more about the refurbishment in a moment and what you were doing before. But in that short time, you've clearly built a loyal customer base. Now, once people have been here and witnessed and experienced that attention to detail, the care, the attention to customer service, I imagine they'll come back and they'll recommend it to people, and you'll create a thriving customer base. But how did you attract business in the first place? Creating a brand new establishment. How did you get on the map? How did you get your customers?
We'll come on to it later, as you say, but my background is marketing. So I did spend a lot of time thinking about the sort of people that I hoped it was going to attract. So I sort of put them into a little bit of categories in terms of what would they want at the area that it's located in and what is going to attract someone to come here. I've always wanted it to be a community feel, and I called it a neighbourhood kitchen for the restaurant.
Yes.
And I love the fact that people do come back and back and back again. And you know, I'm really happy that I have the same people that come every week, sit on the same table and have one pot of coffee. I don't mind that, and want to chat to me. I love it. And then they'll see their friends across the room. And that's about the warmth. And, you know, it's not about the money or the spend, which of course is, you know, you do need to keep it going. But it is about community, and it is about people feeling that they are welcome and they are happy to be there. And so that's the bit that I've tried to work on to get people to come back.
Yes.
In terms of marketing it, I still think there's a lot of people that don't know us, don't know that they can just pop in and have a meal.
Because that's an important factor, isn't it? We've been talking about you appearing in the Good Hotel Guide,
yeah,
and, of course, other guides as well, and winning the Caesar Award from the Good Hotel Guide, which is fantastic. But as you say, you're offering a neighbourhood kitchen, you're offering food, you're a restaurant, people can pop in for coffees. And the day that we're carrying out this interview on the Thursday afternoon, I've popped in to see you, and there are people clearly enjoying a snack, a drink, a meal, or whatever. So there's been an achievement in terms of getting people to know about this, but equally speaking, you're continuing to reach out to people so that more people find out about you.
Yeah, I mean, the marketing I did to begin with was actually do an open day for all our neighbours and people that supported us,
yes,
through the build, and the neighbours have been fantastic, really say thank you to them. And then I literally wore a lot of shoe leather out by going up and down the stairs and showing people the rooms.
Mm.
And that just spread the word really quickly because people loved it. And I mean, even had two people crying in the top room when they're looking out the window. They just couldn't believe we were in Sheffield. And I think people, though, were intrigued. I think it was the fact that the build took so long was fabulous because Brocco Banks always snarled it with traffic. So everyone was watching to say, what is going to happen there?
Yes.
So that was good in terms of marketing. And I sort of put up some banners and things as well. But people were intrigued and they did come in their droves to have a look and test us out. And, you know, hopefully when they did enjoy it, they came back. So we are starting to build a reputation, but it is difficult and you've still got to keep going and get more people to know about it.
And so you have to, as you've alluded to, segment your marketing to different customers, depending on whether you're pushing the neighbourhood kitchen to people in the city, whether you're pushing the hotel itself, and helping more people to become aware of what you offer. But at the same time, you've attracted quite a lot of publicity around the restaurant, the neighbourhood kitchen offering as well. So we talked about the build taking a long time. Was that challenging? Did it take longer than expected?
I think it did take longer than expected in terms of sort of permissions and things like that, which were tricky. But actually, if you think about it, it was only 16 months and I was pretty much doing it solo.
Yes.
I'd got Rock Developments and a guy called Ryan, who was the builder, owner of that company. He's only a young guy. We did it together and he wasn't responsible for getting the electricians in or the mechanics. I put packages out for every single thing. So I bought the windows, I bought the doors, I bought the plasterboard, I bought the timber, I bought the block and beam. So I bought every single thing that this building was personally.
Yes.
And then he got it in and built and managed. But we put out tenders for all these different packages. I had a part-time QS, so he's got a full-time job and we're just doing it in the evenings. So really, between the fact that there was only a very, you know, two or three people involved in actually doing something from complete scratch, so all the walls had gone, all the ceilings had gone, all the floors had gone, we did it all, you know, from scratch. It was not a bad timescale, really.
No, it's remarkable undertaking that. And with... So you had a QS, a quantity surveyor, on a part-time basis, but you had a builder you could trust, clearly, and work with.
He was a joiner, so he could do the joinery package, but he couldn't do anything else, so other than coordinate subcontractors coming in and out. Mm. It was also quite challenging with all the... one of the biggest challenges, I think, was the... And I think I've put it to my mind, it's only just come back to me now. The trauma was the water, the gas and the electric,
right?
Because you had to upgrade all of those services.
Yes.
So we had to go from a one phase to a three phase. I'm very technical now.
You know, things you didn't know you'd need to
I
learn.
Didn't know. Yes, yeah. I've learned a lot. So that took a heck of a long time. There was lots of bureaucracy, lots of things you had to go through. I mean, even I think the week before we were even trying to open, trying to get water in, I mean, it was that sort of tight.
Yeah.
So it was very hard work was the actual services. But bear in mind, I was just doing a build project. I was also then doing a fit out project. So I had had to buy everything from the coffee maker to the teaspoon, to the bedding, to the bed, to the shutters. So there was so many different trades. And so running that whole project was massive alongside the build project. And then really on the end of it, I had an operational project. I had to, you know, recruit, source, train, deliver a team of people in 2 weeks and open up the doors. And so I don't think I slept about 3 hours a night.
I should think so.
Lived on site because I was absolutely, it was unbelievably hard, but very exhilarating.
It must have been exhilarating. So build project, fit out project, operations and launch, and of course marketing as well.
And the market with all the brand, the website had to go live. The brand, the print, the menus, it was a massive job. But I actually found it very life-enhancing, and I've never been happier than when I was doing that build project, I think. Mm. I absolutely loved it.
Wonderful. And so we talked to, well, we've alluded to your previous experience. You, you're running a marketing agency, mm-hmm. and that must have stood you in good stead then for this project.
I felt that that stood me in the best stead because I always have started everything from the premise of the brand. So if you start with the brand and the vision and the values of what you want to achieve, then everything that you purchase and everything that you do sits under that value and that brand. So you don't go off buying some bright, vivid orange chair that wouldn't fit into your colour scheme, no. because you might like it that day when you've gone out shopping, which obviously I was attracted to lots of different things. But if it didn't fit into my brand and my brand board and my mood board and my paint board, then that was that orange, bright orange chair was not making the cut. And that just went to everything, really. So it was the menu, it was the team, it was the uniforms, it was, you know, everything started from the brand. And where is it positioned? Who am I trying to attract? What is it doing? What are the values? And it's all about eat well, live well, sleep well. So if I was buying a mattress, I bought the best mattress that I could afford because I felt that the basics of the hotel needed to be top quality, and that if you get that right, then, you know, everything else comes from that, yeah. I believe. And so marketing for me is the driver. I mean, other people might go down, you know, I'm sure my accountant would say, it needs to be the money. Go for everything that's the cheapest. But my background's marketing, so it's always going to come from the brand vision. And that's where my starting point was for the whole project.
And that vision is clearly about providing an experience to people that they enjoy and they value. And so the brand has to be supportive of that.
Yeah.
And then if you got that right, then you keep your accountant happy anyway, because the customers...
Hopefully, eventually.
Super. Well, sadly, we haven't got much time left in this interview. We're going to have to get you back on again in the future. But before we do go, Tina, I've just got one, I suppose, final question for you, if I may. And many of our listeners running their own businesses of whatever size and within whatever industries, I think, can learn about your from you. You've demonstrated meticulous attention to detail, a clear passion for the importance of brand and brand values and so on.
Yeah.
What do you know now, though, having set up and run Brocco on the Park for a couple of years, that you wish you'd known at the start? Or alternatively, another way of asking the same question, what top tips would you give other business owners that perhaps you wish people had given you?
That's quite a hard question, because I want to say that looking after your staff means that you look after your customers. That means you are successful. And I really try to do that. You know, I do really care about my staff, and I really do care about my customers, actually. And I think those are the two most important elements of the whole business.
Yes.
But I've been probably knocked a bit by staffing issues, and it's hard to keep my passion and my enthusiasm for being that person with people that, you know, you start to get a bit knocked in it. I think what I've learned is to be much more robust in everything to do with HR, and however nice you want to be, you have to have all the policies and all the procedures and all the HR ticked off. And actually, if you were going to invest in something, I'd probably invest in a very good HR professional to help a small business, because the legislation that I've learned, and it's an awful thing to say, but the things I've learned over the last couple of years, particularly in this sort of industry, is that you need to have that legislation watertight.
Well, that's really great advice.
It really, for me, is, you know, I mean, the government doesn't particularly help you, a small business, I don't believe, and that it's very hard, and especially all the minimum wage and all that sort of thing keep constantly going up, but customers not wanting you to put any of your prices up. It is quite tricky for particularly a hospitality business when it's very people-led. But HR is where I would say that you need to invest in making sure that everything that you do is watertight.
So if you know that everything's watertight, then you can carry on being a great employer, but safe in the confidence for you, confidence for all your staff, that everything is done correctly. Yeah.
I mean, I've always tried to do everything. I always do everything by the book. I've always been like that. That's my philosophy. But it seems to still come back to bite you, even however good you feel that you're trying to be.
So get that right from the outset.
Yeah, definitely.
And good advice there that people need to remember, reflect on, and ensure that they're doing in the businesses that they run. Mm-hmm. So where next then for Brock on the Park? Where will we see you in 6 months, a year's time? What's the ambition over the coming months?
Well, I've just sort of launched this Tuesday Social Club. And so we're doing lots more events and things that keep it fresh and different and exciting. So there's all sorts of things there, that from, you know, a gin tasting night to a Bordeaux evening, to craft workshops, to jewellery making, to Scandi evenings and supper clubs. And I love doing something that's always a bit creative and fun and different, and use my old creative brain. And, well, you never know. Maybe there might be Brocco in the Hills coming up.
Well, watch this space. Exciting stuff. Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for joining me and talking through Brocco on the Park with me and with our listeners today, Tina. And congratulations on the accolade, City Hotel of the Year, from the Good Hotel Guide. Absolutely marvellous. And, well, we wish you every success in the future.
Thank you.
Of course, people can find out more about you at your website as well.
Yes, and I think we're in the Sunday Times on Sunday, so if you want to buy that copy, we're there.
Tremendous. Excellent. Tina Carr, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly programme about business and social enterprise. Now, we've just played an interview that I recorded a few weeks ago with Tina Carr, and she's the owner of Brocco on the Park. And as you've heard, they're featured in the Good Hotel Guide. But also today, live in the studio, we've been talking about Small Business Saturday. And we've been talking with the owner of the dress agency, the Dress Circle on Aberdare Road. And Maria Terry, she is the co-owner of the shop with her mother, Pat. And she was talking about the plans that they have for Small Business Saturday, which is a campaign to encourage consumers to shop local. Now, Small Business Saturday, there is a website. You can find out more on smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com. It's not just about tomorrow, the 3rd of December, though. It's about supporting small businesses all through the year and understanding the difference that they make in terms of, if you spend a pound in a small, locally owned business, much, much more of that circulates into your local economy, into our local economy, than spending in a massive multinational business. So you can check out smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com if you want to. Now, what else is going on? Well, I've been reading about Westfield Health. They are inviting startups and entrepreneurs from the health and wellbeing sector to pitch for partnership, for investment, and for business support opportunities with the company. That's part of their new strategy to embrace developing markets in health, in wellbeing and care. So they want startups to help identify the ways that Westfield can support new business growth and how they could then work together to benefit the health and wellbeing of the wider population. Westfield, of course, moved into new headquarters on Charter Row in the city centre recently, and that includes enterprise hub spaces, which have been allocated to support the growth of health and wellbeing startups. And their process involves a 500-word application outlining details of the startup business. Then shortlisted businesses will have a chance to pitch their business plan, which will be evaluated by a team at Westfield Health. Deadline for applications is 5 p.m. on the 31st of December. So you've got a little bit of time to sort something out there. And Westfield Health has around 400,000 customers now and 8,000 corporate relationships. So if you pitch as a startup, then you'll be able to connect with Westfield, benefit from their relationships and their expertise. If you want to find out more about that, take a look at westfieldhealth.com/HW-startups. Now, It won't have gone unnoticed. The festive season is upon us. Christmas trees perhaps are popping up in the city centre. Perhaps Amy and Sheffield City Council will chop them down. Who knows? Anyway, as Christmas approaches, is it a brilliant time for small businesses? Or is it a feast of consumerism? Well, perhaps a little bit of both. But the Charity Bank, which is a bank that describes itself as a bank for good, has published their alternative Christmas gift guide to buy better, not more. They say that a different approach to Christmas shopping could make us happier. And that rather than Christmas shopping being about queues, crowds and endless receipts, if we think about it in terms of social relationships, meaningful and lasting relationships, you can apply that to stuff. They say buy less, buy social, reduce, repair, reuse and recycle. But they have published plenty of ideas for people who want to buy ethically for Christmas, for presents. And that is on the Charity Bank website, charitybank.org. You can find details there. Now, if you're involved in the tech sector, then you might be interested in Nesta. They have something called the Nesta Share Lab Fund, which has a mission to grow evidence and understanding of how collaborative digital platforms can deliver social impact. So they want to support and to incubate new collaborative platforms that create social impact, and they want to give people funding of between £10,000 and £40,000, plus non-financial support as well, to stimulate experimentation and collaboration. So could be interesting, looks interesting. Anyone can submit an idea to ShareLab, even if you're not in a position to develop it yourself. And Nesta want to explore partnerships to advance their ShareLab mission. So they say that collaborative economy companies, such as Airbnb, Just Park, Task Rabbit, are transforming business models. And that's in many varied areas, transport, accommodation, finance, and so on. But they say that whilst the collaborative economy is becoming very well established in the private sector, in the third sector and public sectors are lagging significantly behind in exploiting the potential of the collaborative economy to create social impact. And their Share Lab Fund is to address that gap. So if that sounds interesting to you, then you need to get your skates on, because you have to submit an expression of interest online by next Friday, the 9th of December 2016. So if you want to find out more, take a look at the Nesta website, which is nesta.org.uk, and there you can find Nesta Share Lab Fund. So find details there. Now, what else is coming up? Well, of course, a whole range of events. We've talked about some events from HMRC, some webinars designed to help people with issues such as business expenses that you can claim, what you can claim and what you can't claim, and tax. So those webinars take place tomorrow. But of course, then you can also look at HMRC's YouTube channel to find out more. Tech North have a whole range of things going on, events coming up. You can see details on their website, technorthhq.com. As ever, Business Sheffield have plenty going on, so have a look at their website as well. And of course, if you're running an event that you think would be helpful to businesses or to social enterprises, then get in touch. Just email me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, or send a text to 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter, or find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well, because you can tell us about what you're doing, tell us about your events, suggest someone who should come on the programme, or even put yourself forward to be a guest. Don't be shy, get in touch, and if what you're doing sounds interesting, then we'd love to bring you onto the show. So today's programme is nearly at an end, but we will be back on air next Friday, which is, of course, the 9th of December. In the meantime, after this show, our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk, will be on from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. So do tune in for that. And thanks very much for listening. I'll play out with a track of music, but just one thing, actually, it's also worth mentioning. It's National Tree Week this week. So I planted a tree on Sunday. It was really, really great fun. I was very, very happy to do that. If you've got the spaces and the resources and can plant a tree, go and plant a tree. Honestly, it's so much fun, so satisfying. There you go. Right, so thanks for tuning in today. We're going to play out with some music from local band, the Payroll Union. This is a track from their album, The Mule and the Elephant, and the track is Through the Trees.